Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks so much for listening on this Monday morning. We're actually pre-taping this up in Florence, Alabama, kind of opposite Caddy Corner to Mobile. But I had the opportunity to sit down with Congressman Robert Adderholt of the 4th Congressional District. Congressman, how are you this morning?
Well, Jeff, it's good to be with you here in person.
Yeah, well, we haven't done an in-person interview in all these years.
Maybe it's been a long time if we have. So, yeah, it's good to see you across the table.
Yeah, so let's get into it. I've been about a busy month and a half or so. Democrats, I guess 2 months now, Democrats under Democrat control with Nancy Pelosi, we've seen H.R. 1, we've seen a big multi-trillion dollar COVID relief plan. Does it seem to you that the approach here from the Democrats, you know, usually those pivotal first 100 days of an administration are, you really try to get stuff done, but it still seems like the same old messaging bills from the Democrats?
Well, I think most everything that they have brought forward in this Congress on the House side is going to have a hard time getting to the Senate. You mentioned the $1.9 trillion relief package regarding COVID, and certainly it will probably pass in some form in the Senate, but it won't pass in the form that the House passed it. H.R. 1, you alluded to, it passed just this week in the House of Representatives. I do not expect it to go very far in the Senate, and, you know, it is really a bad bill. It is really has so many things in it that I think the American people would be horrified to know about it. You know, if we think this last election we had problems, this will pretty much codify what's going to be going on in the future. Ballot harvesting, where you can go out and pick up ballots from people, is going to be in the legislation to make sure that's allowed. Voter ID will be disregarded in the states. There will be mail-in ballot allowed. That will be something that's encouraged and something that's for all the 50 states. You know, we don't have that necessarily in Alabama as such. We have absentee voting, and obviously that is something I support. But just mail-in balloting, where you really can't check the ID, you know, I have some real issues with that. And one of the things that I think most people don't realize is what's in this H.R. 1 is this part that allows the matching funds from the federal government.
Right.
If it's a 6-to-1 match. In other words, if an individual contributes $200 to a campaign, the government will match it, will not only match it, but will put in $1,200. And so for a $200 contribution, it turns into a $1,400 contribution. And so that is a, that's real problematic in, or $1,600, I guess, if you add them all together. So this is really, I think, something that you're taking federal dollars and you can't even say match them because it's 6-to-1.
Right, it's not even.
It's like six multifold. Times.
Yeah.
So it is just really a crazy bill, and I don't think the American people even know what's in it when the House passed it a few days ago. And I think hopefully that the Senate will slow it down. You know, it's a divided Senate, 50-50, but you've got a couple of senators over there. Senator Manchin, you know, is one of them that hopefully can try to be the common sense for the Democrat Party in trying to vote against. But then again, with the Senate rules, they can slow things down unless they change the filibuster. And that's what my biggest fear is, that they'll change the filibuster rule up there and they can just push all this through. But hopefully Manchin will make sure that it's not done.
Well, I think a lot of things, the frustrations from the Trump administration, that first year or two where, you know, we got the House, we got the Senate, and we got the White House, and then we're not moving fast enough. That was what a lot of Republicans, that was their, you know, what they would say. And it seems Democrats are running that same problem, that I don't get the sense that they're really on the same page, because, I don't know, you know, anything could happen, obviously, in the Senate now that it's 50-50 split. They could do away with the filibuster, but it just doesn't seem like that's the direction they're headed. So in the meantime, the House Democrats are just passing all this, you know, taking all these crazy things that seem to have a low percentage chance of passing, And in some ways, maybe she's making your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, some of the more moderate ones, walk the plank for some of these.
Exactly right. They are, because a lot of this stuff is just crazy from the left. And, you've got even most of this legislation that's come through has been Democrats have voted with the Republicans. Very few times have you have Republicans voted with the Democrats. So a lot of these senators, and that's why Manchin can't go there. I mean, he represents West Virginia. It's a conservative state. It's much like Alabama.
Right.
And so they're not going to go for this, and he was not elected by the individuals of that state. Their other senator is Republican. So he's in a real, unique situation to try to put a curveball in with what the Democrats are doing, and hopefully he will continue to do that. He'll stand strong. Because right now they control the White House and they can control both houses of Congress. And, I like to say, then we just want to make sure they don't control your house. And that's the thing that we've got to make sure that that we try to get through the next 2 years. And let me just, everything's very encouraging for 2022 for the Republicans. Historically, when whoever wins the White House in a midterm election, on the House side, they pick up between 14 and 37 seats. We're only 5 seats from the majority right now. So, when I say we do have 3 vacancies, but those are, if you really based historically where those seats have been, out of those 3 seats, 2 of them are Republican and 1 of them is Democrat. So that means that we're basically 5 seats away from the majority. And that's, that's close.
How do you feel about the mood of the Republicans right now in Washington, D.C.? There was a little rough times there going out through impeachment and after impeachment, but typically everybody could kind of agree on one thing. We got to get the White House back and the House back and the Senate back, and that tends to unify either political party when you're in opposition. Do you feel like you're kind of getting back together now?
Well, I will still say there's still a lot of, discourse even in the Republican Party as it is in the Democrat Party. I mean, right now, as you know, the big issue is there are several Republicans that do not want to embrace Trump, and or they want to just completely divorce. I mean, I don't think there's any way to divorce Trump from the Republican Party.
Right.
He is very much a strong part of it. I think all of us maybe from time to time would disagree something that he said or how he said it. But if you look at the policies of Donald Trump, he was right on target. He every policy that came out of the Trump administration was exactly what I would have done. And I think a lot of people are forgetting that. And they're like, some Republicans say, I was offended by that tweet or something. Well, I'm offended by the legislation that's now coming through the Congress.
Right.
The Biden is supporting. So, I'd much rather have a tweet every now and then that maybe I would have worded different or something like that, but as opposed to having bad legislation that's going to be on the books, maybe forever. So to my Republican friends who are not supportive of Trump, I would say, listen, at the end of the day, it matters what kind of legislation gets through. And, I always tell people, Donald Trump's a New Yorker. He has a different personality. So, but his policies are spot on.
What do you think? I guess if you think from the Trump era, we learned. I think the Republican Party maybe takes a little bit of a different approach on some issues now, coming out of the Trump administration. But that it tends to kind of gravitate toward these 3 things. If you look at this Trump brand of populism, it's immigration, it's trade, and a little less hawkish foreign policy. Does that seem to be a good mix right now?
Well, I think that, that's been something that, this trade issue you mentioned, that's something I think has been so important. I think the Republicans in the last administrations have really failed to really try to work on good trade policies. Trump was for the first time came up and said, we've got to make sure that we protect the manufacturing jobs in the United States of America. And that has resonated well with voters. And I think that's really what put one of the things, I can't say the thing, but one of the things that really caused Trump to have his win is because that resonates with the American people. That when you are saying that we cannot source everything out and bring everything, there's some people that want to bring all of our food in from other countries and make these trade agreements. We have got to have a robust agricultural segment of this in this country. We have a robust manufacturing segment, and that's what Trump did, and that will be his legacy. And I'm just hoping that we can. And it's really hard for the Democrats to fight against that. Are you going to say we won't have something that's not made in the United States coming to this country? I mean, obviously we will have a trade agreement. It's not like we're going to be an isolationist,
right?
But we are going. But we do need to make sure that we are not just bringing everything and depending on the other countries. And we've seen with China how we've depended on China for the last several decades, and now with the COVID virus that has dominated over the last year, that the issues that we've had there. So I think Trump has really done some great things when it comes to the trade issue.
I mean, that was really the lesson from COVID for a lot of us, realizing how reliant we are, not just on China, but maybe other actors around the world, and getting, you know, while you may get some kind of cost benefit from that, you put yourself in a tough spot because when these things come up that you have national security questions, all these things that really threaten our day-to-day well-being. And right after COVID, after the lockdowns, when they were really in force around the country, people were thinking we need to pull some of that back into the United States domestically. Do you still get that sense that that's something people want to do, or is it just kind of, you know, as these things kind of get put in the rearview mirror, we forget about them?
I think it's something that the American people really care deeply about, and they do want us to have a – not only does it make sure that we have jobs here, but it also protects our national security. And of course, China, I think some people don't realize that China is a threat out there. It's really not Russia. Of course, Russia does some bad things, but as far as who is really moving out there in the world and who is trying to dominate the world, it's China, and that's who we've got to be careful with. And if we let our guard down and just pretend that they're not there and depend on them, then we're going to be in real trouble. So I'm thankful that Donald Trump really changed the direction of the Republican Party, because when I first got elected to Congress, the Republican Party was let's get everything from China or wherever we can get it, if we can get it cheaper.
Yeah.
And that there's certain things that we can get from other countries, but and we have to get from other countries, but we can't depend on our manufacturing base being in some other part of the world.
Hey, just joined by Congressman Robert Aderholt. Congressman, a couple more minutes here before I have to let you go. Is there any reason that surprised you? Any reason to be optimistic about the Biden administration? And maybe they seem to be at least a little more willing to stand up to China than I had thought they would be. But do you get a sense that there's something out there that they're doing right? I mean, it seems like it's been overshadowed by everything else that's going on these first 100 days. But kind of watching it from afar, maybe we're just not there yet. It's not as bad as we thought it could have been during the election.
Well, right now, I mean, Biden has been totally behind what Nancy Pelosi wants to do in the House. He's not stood up and said, you know, we got to do something. It's not just for the Democrat Party. We got to do something for the American people. So, you know, no, he unfortunately, he's flipped his stance on abortion. He used to be against abortion, and especially federal funding of abortion. He has flipped on that. So, you know, I think he is beholden to the liberal base of the Democrat Party. And I think that they are not going to let him. If Joe Biden, perhaps, if he was able to be his own man, there would be some issues that we could work with him on. But I think that the liberal base of the Democrat Party has got so much control over this White House that I think it's going to be difficult to really get any kind of meaningful legislation put forward.
I mean, that's who's really driving the train right now, it seems. It's the liberal base. Even Pelosi's seemingly been pushed a little.
She has, yes. AOC and what's called the Squad, you know, they are, she even sometimes, they sometimes make her look like she's a moderate Republican, and we know for certain that that's not the case. She's never held that title. But, there is a faction in the Democrat Party now that has really gone, that's embracing socialism, and unfortunately it's a growing a part of the Democrat base, and that's, I think, really going to really make it difficult to try to get anything meaningful through this Congress.
Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. You've been very generous with your time this morning, and we need to talk again real soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Jeff. Thanks.
All right. That was Congressman Robert Adderhole. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I never do what I'm supposed to do. Hardly even know my name anymore. When no one calls it out, kind of vanishes away.